It's time for Sports Talk with Mike and the Crisis. Log on to KAZM Radio/sports or follow along on Twitter at KAZM Sports. And now here's your hosts, Mike Tabak and Rob Luscato.
Welcome in there, sports fans. So glad to have you along with us. Another edition of Sports Talk. Rolling out to you from the studios at ESPN 780 KAZM. I am Mike. He is the Crisis. I'm Mike Tabak. He's Rob Luscano. Now that we have done roll call,
we can present.
Count it for Bueller.
Did you ever say present?
Bueller.
No, I always said here.
There was always some jackass that said present.
Present.
He had another one. He's a smart Alex, you know. That wasn't me. I was a well-behaved student. All right. I'm not sure anybody bought that either. But,
no, we bought it, man.
Let's just go with it, right? We'll talk about some of the NFL coaching carousel because, obviously, there is some transitions happening in the NFC East. And that includes the Giants close to hiring Bob McAdoo as their new head coach. Obviously, Tom Coughlin, quote unquote, I'm showing air quotations with my fingers, retired at the end of the season.
Didn't retire.
Just left his position, said thank you for everything, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple weeks later, he's now the front runner for the Eagles job.
It's going to be a pain in the butt for those Giants, boy.
Wow.
Do you think they're going to call McAdoo Coach Mac or Coach Do or Coach Adu, Coach Maca? What do you think they're going to call this guy?
Doo-doo. That's what they're going to call the Giants for the next 5 years. The thing that gets me now, okay, Eli has resurrected his offense to some degree in this new scheme. It didn't work a year ago when he was unfamiliar with it. It worked a lot better this year. Obviously, you can probably say that that's a lot to do with Odell Beckham, the majority of it, or it's something he's getting more comfortable with. That's fine. The last thing you want to do if you're the Giants is take your now aging quarterback and give him yet another offensive system that he has to learn. So maybe that's why they want to keep McAdoo in place. That being said, they are still making a number of mistakes, I would think, in their decisions of who they keep and where they staff them. Steve Spagnuolo apparently going to stay on as the defensive coordinator on a defense that gave up more yards than the other team in the NFL last year. How am I the only one that looks at this and says, okay, so all you did was remove the guy that actually had the pulse of the team and the finger over the button? You took him out of play. What that did to further your franchise, I don't see anything yet. Especially if all you're going to do is promote from within, you're not going to try and change what's been going on there. I don't get it. Personally.
I don't either, and I think you're right, and I don't know what the deal is. Is this signing a for sure thing? Did they sign McAdoo?
They haven't signed him yet, but they're saying they're seriously close. Like, he's the front runner. He's the one who's, like, they're negotiating a deal. Like, it's a done decision, it's just not signed yet.
Because I'm wondering if this is not a done deal, would a coach like Nick Saban be a guy they'd be interested in and throw a ton of money at to come to the Giants? And a great franchise, great ownership.
Yeah.
Instead of where Nick Saban was before in Miami with a crappy ownership, crappy franchise, would Nick Saban make a move like that? And you know, let's say he says he wants that job. Let's say they woo him enough where he wants that job, $10 million a year, whatever the heck the highest pay. What's the highest coaching pay now?
Frankly, Nick Saban at Alabama, probably.
For NFL and college is
probably,
Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess the deal was supposed to be of that level with Harbaugh at Michigan, but I'm not sure exactly how that leveled out because what they showed was not as high as what was anticipated. I don't remember what it was,
$5 million
or something like that. No, Harbaugh.
Saban,
you know, the thing about it is that you get the house, you know.
You get
that's free and clear. You've got endorsement deals left and right. You have your own radio network kind of show, your TV show, your all that stuff. And you pretty much live free and clear there within the campus. And then on top of that, you make your salary, which is in Saban's case at least $7-8 million a year. I'm not really sure. But I'd be willing to bet it's that much or more. You know, they don't really have to tell you everything they give them. You know, it's not just the paycheck. So
a guy like, I would say, okay, so how many years is it going to take Harbaugh to not win a national title at Michigan before they start looking for another guy there? Because he's got a high salary.
Right.
All right. So if you compare him to Saban, and if you compare him to Urban Meyer, who has already won at Ohio State.
Right.
Right. And he's had a couple under his belt, three, I guess. And then, I mean, how many years are they going to take to kick Harbaugh out of it if he doesn't win one? You know what I mean? If he stays, because it's a hard, he's going to be in a hard deal there to win one. And then how much money is it going to take for Alabama to lose Nick Saban? You see what I'm saying? I'm wondering if there's a money thing here that he can, you know, he can be looking at himself saying, man, I what else am I going to do here at Alabama besides stay there for 20 more years and be the king honcho there, which I think he should. That's where I think he should be.
I think that's where he's leaning.
You know,
I don't think he wants to leave. I think if anything, he realizes every time he wins one of these that he's got however many more years that he can just do what he wants to do. Saban's at the point now that even if Alabama drops into the mediocre level of teams, he's still Joe Pa level now, where he's just not going anywhere until he decides to go somewhere. That's what I think. You win, five national titles.
In 7 years? How many years?
In
10 years? Or
I think
it's
nine total years.
Wow.
But in like seven college years, you know? You win five national titles, four national titles now with Alabama in this amount of time. He's way above the success that Joe Paterno ever had.
And what's not going to translate 20 years from now is the fact that the SEC is the strongest conference in college football. I don't care what anybody says. It just is. And he's,
what is it now? Eight out of the last 10?
Something like that.
I think.
ACC snuck one in there. And
in the Big Ten with the Ohio State.
Yeah, snuck one in there. So, I mean, you're not going to remember that 10, 20 years from now, but that's unbelievable. It is. I mean, we talk about the Pac, what is it now? 18?
12.
The Pac-12.
Yeah.
That knock each other out, and they do.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But you got to have that one Pac-12 team that can withstand all that stuff. And Oregon sometimes comes out of there, but they don't win the national title.
USC
flat.
Is the only team out of the Pac-12 to show that kind of dominance on a national.
How long ago was that? The two that they won.
It's like 8 years ago now.
It's got to be more than
9 years ago. You got to go back. You figure what? What was 2004-2005 time frame? Maybe trying to think of when they.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because Leinart was there.
Yeah.
Vince Young was there, you know, playing at Texas that beat them. So they went for the three straight.
That was 06 maybe, but
They go to three straight and won two and lost one? Is that what it was? So that's over. I mean, that hasn't happened in whatever since that happened, you know? And so what Saban has done there is amazing. I kind of hope he stays. I mean, I'm not a fan of the guy personally. I don't, you know, whatever. I still think he's a car salesman, but, I think he's done a heck of a job.
I like him more now than I did 10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess I do too.
I like him more now than I did when he was saying, I'm not leaving LSU, you know, and then he ends up in Miami. I like him a lot more now than I did then.
Yeah.
You know.
And so
people change in a decade, regardless of your age.
Yeah. Unless you're Petrino. But,
right. Petrino hasn't changed to 15 years old is the problem.
But no, I think Saban, he should stay there and that would be great. Now, if he makes a move like we're talking about, then I reconsider my character feelings with him. You know what I mean? Because I think he, you know, but we'll see. Hey, you know, people with egos and, you know, maybe wants to conquer the next thing. Remember, he failed at the NFL level.
Right.
Does that bug him?
Well, I think it bugged Pete Carroll.
I think it did too.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Pete Carroll at his advanced age, which is older than when did Pete Carroll come back? Because Pete Carroll's 64 now.
Well, when
65,
when the school started getting caught and getting in trouble, that's when he left.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. He had opportunities. This is probably a good time to.
Does Nick Saban get in trouble like that eventually? And I don't see that happening. They're two different type of guys.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
There's the difference between playing in Tuscaloosa and playing in L.A. Essentially.
Yeah, you can cover more stuff in Tuscaloosa.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, big time. Speaking of cover-ups, let's move on to the Alabama of the NFL, the New England Patriots.
Mm.
Did you hear about this deal with Richardson? This baffles me on how the NFL is going to end up handling this whole thing. I really have no idea what their plan is to handle it, but. I never even thought about this. Now, I knew this kind of stuff about 5 years ago, the synthetic marijuana. You've seen the reports on that over the last however many years. I never thought much of it from an NFL standpoint because it was mostly stuff for, like, you know, teens, kids that couldn't afford marijuana, kids that couldn't afford better drugs. They do this synthetic stuff. They smoke these so-called incenses and stuff like that, or they take the bath salts and stuff. They do these synthetic drugs to get their highs because they couldn't afford to buy the real stuff. And there's some danger to these synthetics. It was, you know, it's hallucinating people and they're killing themselves and hurting themselves and other people. There was a big problem with it. And a lot of states have outlawed them. One of which, of course, is Arizona. They outlawed the synthetic marijuanas and the bath salts and things like that. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll get into this because this is interesting on how the NFL has to handle this kind of thing and what's okay and what's not okay. I really don't care if players use marijuana. I don't care if, you know, Joe Blow uses marijuana. You know what I mean? There's regulations like alcohol. You don't do it when you drive. You don't do it when you're out. You don't do it when you work. You know, those kinds of things. But if they did it on a Tuesday when they're not working and they're at home, I couldn't care less. But the synthetic stuff is a darker beast, and we'll get into some of that. So
you have the word synthetic before something,
right?
It's not good for you.
It's like that's one of those catchphrases in the NFL. Let's not go to synthetic anything. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what's going on with the Patriots, and we'll also discuss some of the other things going on in the NFL and college football all over the place. Stick around. It's Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KAZM. Get a Sports Talk 780 KAZM. All right, I think I said Richardson. I was thinking of the defensive end for the Jets, Chandler Jones, is who we're talking about. He's defensive end for the New England Patriots. He was hospitalized for a bad reaction to synthetic marijuana. Here's the deal. He ends up, I guess, he walked into the police station, like, because he's flipping out, taking this synthetic marijuana. I guess what they did was they did this stuff. I don't know if it's incense or if it's other tobaccos or whatever plants, you know, cloves, who knows what they do. But they add the THC stuff and the hallucinogenic compounds and things like that to make this synthetic marijuana. Now, the dumb thing is that the plant, the marijuana plant itself is not the problem. It's the hallucinogen stuff like
Absolutely.
The THC that's the problem. And, they outlaw the marijuana, but you can still add the components that make it bad to some other plant and smoke that if you want to. That's the problem here is that in Massachusetts, it's not illegal to have synthetic marijuana or smoke it. And apparently it causes major anxiety and paranoia in bad reactions, which is what happened to him, is he just kind of was losing it and ended up walking into, I guess, the police station to kind of turn himself in, so to speak. Now, interesting thing is that you remember James Jones, or John Jones, Bones Jones, the UFC fighter?
Right.
That's the brother of Chandler Jones.
Right.
And we know John Jones had some issues,
absolutely,
too. He admitted already that he was addicted to marijuana. The upcoming problems that follow this and what these two guys are used to doing, or what they, mm-hmm, you know, this is obviously a problem. When you watch somebody close to you, like a brother or something like that, go through something with drugs and it hurts their career and stuff, it should be an awakening for you. You should,
right,
see that and go, okay, I need to change too. Didn't happen.
But some people are stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess that's the old saying, is there ain't no cure in stupid.
You know? No, this is in Boston, you said, where this guy? Or
Massachusetts.
Because isn't that where the Boston Tea Party happened? Where they allowed smoking and tobacco and all that stuff. And so they, right, was the Boston Tea Party? Was that
right?
What it was
about?
They
put taxations on the teas.
Is
and
pot
stuff,
legal,
and they,
legalized in mass?
I don't know that pot is legalized, not like Colorado legalized.
So the NFL isn't going to do anything about this at all?
I don't know, because the reality is the team may be able to fine him for causing a disturbance or whatever.
Yeah,
being,
right.
But he was back at the facility a couple days later. This all happened Sunday night.
Wow.
Monday morning, like 7 a.m., he walks into the police station and says, I'm losing it. They take him to the hospital. By Tuesday morning at 6:30 a.m., he's in the gym working out. So I don't know that he missed any time or anything like that. But he, you know, was, essentially not taken into custody, but taken into the hospital for this reaction for it. So
amazing.
This is interesting, but the NFL's policy and program on substance abuse limits the substances that are allowed to be tested, which is how synthetic marijuana is able to fly under the radar.
Right.
The NFL could subject him to the intervention program due to the hospitalization.
Right.
They could say, hey, look, this is a problem. Obviously, you've already been to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But he would only miss time if he were already within the second stage of the drug policy. In other words, a repeat offender,
right,
and he's not. So... you know, this is the guy, this is, you know, we got problems with this guy. Remember, he had, there was a top prospect, in 2016. I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but, he fell from the hotel window in Indemichi or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The two brothers from Ole Miss. Yeah. He's actually went back to the hospital out of the blue.
Yeah.
Don't even know what finally happened with that story. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about that he's got a problem with that kind of stuff.
Well, and that's what happened. He was on this synthetic stuff. He freaked out and flew out a window. You know, this is a real deal. And this was a problem that was going on all the time. And that's why they outlawed it here. It was a major problem. And it's gotten somewhat better. But the high school kids are doing this.
Yeah.
Junior high kids, college kids, kids all over the place. Now these kids are growing up to the point where they're getting jobs in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still doing this kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, before it was, well, it's not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it at a smoke shop.
Right.
It's just incense, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a major ordeal now, I think, for the NFL. This is something they're going to have to evaluate, because if you mix these two worlds of violent sport and paranoia and hallucinogenic drugs, what you end up with is, you know, a major ordeal. You end up with something like what happened to that Bengal a few years back that went and killed his fiance
the
or his baby mom. He murdered her and then went. There's the Chiefs. He went to the facility afterwards and killed himself. You know, that's what you're gonna end up. You're gonna end up with stuff like that when these guys are hallucinating and their paranoia is going through the roof. These guys are going to turn violent. That's in their nature, you know?
Well, not only the violent part of it, Mike, but you and I have talked about this for years now, and with all this concussion talk about in the NFL, they're saying one out of every three NFL players suffers from some form of CTE, whatever. And I totally disagree with that kind of thing. I think, and I was a player, and I seen, and I have tons of friends that are players.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, if you don't realize the amount of alcohol, the amount of drugs that these players take on a abusive level, take that in consideration before you just say that hitting each other in the head playing football has this concussion effect. There's a combo. This synthetic marijuana use and this synthetic drug use, whatever the heck it is, will also affect the same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And these guys, you know, they just want to say right now that they're hitting each other in the head. The head's getting hit too much, and that's causing the syndrome. It's not just that.
No,
it's all this other use of the illegal stuff, the alcohol stuff, the marijuana, the coke they use. You know what I mean? All that stuff.
Oh, and beyond that, just any of the drugs. There's drugs that they are allowed to legally take.
Right.
The pain medications, narcotics that they get to deal with their injuries that are legal, that are prescribed, but still affect the brain.
Sure.
You know, any of that stuff affects the brain. It affects the serotonin levels and what goes pumped out and what gets, you know, taken in. And
forget the drugs. Yeah. Let's just say you drink a ton of beer one day.
Right.
And the foggy, and folks, you guys have done this, the fogginess you feel the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say you're not a football player, you're just a normal guy that goes to work, a normal lady that goes to work, and you go after work from 5 to 10. All right, and you tie one on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then that next day, they call it a hangover, basically.
Right.
That next day, you got this foggy feeling. You don't feel good. You have a headache. You know what I mean? You just don't feel good. Now, imagine going to work that next day, banging your head 30 times.
Yeah.
Just on your desk.
And
do that every day for 5 days straight, for 6 months straight. See what happens to your head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, smart you are at the end of that. Well, not only that, but then there's that vicious cycle that you get into. That's what happens. You're kind of causing a slight issue. You go and you whack your head around. Now you got headaches. Now you got migraines.
Right.
And then you take this drug or you take that pill.
And keep taking
smoke
it.
Smoke this.
Or you
just keep drinking.
And keep drinking, by the way.
Just keep drinking.
And it's smoked with synthetic marijuana, too, by the way.
Right.
But blame the NFL for the concussions. Don't blame yourself for being an alcoholic or a druggie or, you know what I mean? Don't do that.
And that's when a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand the amount of alcohol or self-medicated kind of preservation that people will go through. I did it to some degree with my knee injuries, my back injuries, injuries and stuff when I was in the Marine Corps. And I got news for you. These guys are not a whole lot different. These guys, they live on a different mindset. When you're a quote-unquote warrior, you're a man's man, you're a tough guy, you think you can go out and swill a fifth of scotch and show up for work the next day.
Sure.
That's the kind of mindset these guys have. And when you equal those things together, it would be like cutting your arm badly.
Right.
And instead of bandaging it and taking care of it and doing all those little things that will help heal it, you pack mud in it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just shove some mud in there, it'll be all right. Well, what do you think is going to happen to your arm 6 months down the road? Same thing will fall off.
A little green thing's going to happen there, and yeah, for sure.
And people, and what happens is these guys go and they hurt themselves, maybe injure their head, whatever it is, they get a concussion, and they go and they drink booze and they poison the brain on top of it.
Yeah.
It's like literally putting lemon juice in a paper cut, the kind of thing you're doing to yourself.
Yeah, now concussions happen. Totally.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
Right.
But it's the other stuff that they're doing and the concussions that are leading to these things, and nobody's coming out with that. Nobody's saying that, which is driving me crazy.
That's the thing I don't get. You and I have been talking about it forever because you, from a personal level, saw what an alcoholic Junior Seau was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not even funny, and not that it was a soul. He had different issues too, but compounded with the alcoholism, the drug use, and the violent nature of his sport, because he was a major hitter,
right?
And I'm sure he played with 30 concussions in his career. I'm sure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way that guy played, I mean, it's amazing to me. And I see a guy like Jim McMahon now, you know, wanting all this money from the NFL because of the concussions he suffered playing the NFL.
Oh, and that guy was the biggest alcoholic in the
league. I know. I'm looking
at
that going, man, this is unbelievable. And I cannot believe the NFL's attorneys haven't come up with something like this and started bringing... I mean, I think the NFL is in a good guy mode. They have to be.
I honestly believe... Yeah, people think the NFL's bad, but I think they're in an ultimate good guy mode because they're fighting it to some degree, but what they're not doing is rubbing each of these guys' names in the dirt. Because this is... If I'm the NFL and this kind of stuff's coming up on my blotter, then I'll tell you what. In 20 years... Okay, when Chandler Jones comes to me and says he wants money for his concussion problems,
CTE,
I'm going to say, look what you did to your brain.
Yep, that's exactly what I would do.
Here's police and hospital record proof of what you were doing to your brain. We're not taking the fall for it.
It's almost like I see these guys smoking. I understand the older people smoking and fine.
Right.
That's something they didn't know 40 years ago, did they?
Right.
That smoking was
40
as bad
years
as,
ago, yeah.
As bad as it was, whatever. But I see these 20-year-olds right now smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Not the vapor stuff. I'm talking about cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I look at these guys, I'm like, you know what? In the next 30 years or whatever, when they don't understand why they get certain illnesses or certain diseases, you know, you're going to feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
You got to feel
sorry. And
that's
just the smoke part of it. The vapor stuff, man.
I almost knocked somebody out the other day.
Oh, they're going to be.
Blew a puff of smoke in my face.
Oh,
In a building, and I looked at the kid, and he just about flipped because I was going to knock him out. That first of all, it was rude.
Yeah.
And the puff of smoke they blow out of those things is probably 13 times bigger than a regular cigarette puff.
Yeah. Yeah, and a whole lot more
offensive to me.
I would think toxic to secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smelled like vanilla or something. I don't know what it was. And I looked at the kid, and he just about flipped. He thought he was Joe Cool. He had this vapor thing going on, you know. And,
idiots.
Yeah.
I hate that stuff.
Oh.
But that stuff's even worse than the regular cigarette. I think those things are even more toxic, more chemically enhanced.
Yeah, they'll come up with... I think they already have. I think they've already had come up with a study with that stuff. And
anyhow, so there you go, our soapbox for health and fitness today, folks. I'm going to go over and have a pastrami-wrapped bacon
there you go, baby.
And a couple of beers down at the main stage.
Hey, by the way, Cleveland Brown fans, you should be ecstatic. You should be jumping up and down for joy, almost as high as whoever won the Powerball. You guys should be really happy about who you hired as the head coach.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right.
You know who it is?
Yeah, but I don't see it, but if you do, all right.
They hired Huey Jackson.
Yeah. Well, it's just Hugh, but you
know his name
Huey.
Is Huey, but they call him,
is it really Huey?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I just thought it was Hugh.
I think it's Huey.
Yeah, maybe.
Cleveland Browns get ready for another 2-14 season for the next 3 years before they fire this guy. This guy's terrible. I'm telling you right now.
I don't know how he's terrible, man. I know he didn't do very good with the Raiders, but nobody.
How the heck do they hire a guy like this?
I don't know.
I'm serious.
I don't know.
I saw
that hire and I was like, wow.
I would go to Marty Schottenheimer before I get this guy.
Yeah.
Is he alive still? I don't even know. I would go with a dead Martin Schottenheimer before
I
hired this guy. Yeah, I don't understand this. I really don't get it.
I don't get it either. There is some weird stuff going on there because he has not blipped a radar for a head coaching position. He is one
brutal.
Of those, and forgive me folks, but he's one of the token black guys that you interview when you have to do the Rooney Rule. But nobody's ever been serious about hiring since he left the Raiders.
Brutal.
I don't know if he'll be good or bad for the Browns. I really have no idea. I'm not sure that he's. If you're the Browns, you've got a clean house in more ways than one.
I wouldn't go by starting by getting Hugh Jackson in there.
Yeah.
I would have gone totally. This is a bad hire, guys.
Yeah.
Now maybe they're saving money. Maybe he comes cheap, and maybe that's the route they're going. I don't know. Because I think they got to pay Pettin some money still for getting rid of him. But I don't know. I really don't get this hire. I mean, I'm not a big Cleveland Browns fan. I went to college in Ohio.
Yeah.
So I do have some kind of, you know, affection for the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals, actually. But this is a terrible hire. It's not going to take you anywhere.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. I really don't see it. I know. I'm not looking at – I can only look at this in the glass half-empty mode. I don't look at him and say, well, that could work. I don't see it at all. I don't think it, you know.
I hope I'm wrong.
I can't tell you that it's going to be horrible or it's going to be that bad, but I don't see the
I'm betting that's going to be horrible.
Yeah, I don't see the glass half full part.
Johnny Manziel? Gone?
He's got to be. He's got to be. Apparently, there's one team out there that's interested, but the Cowboys ain't it.
Well, you haven't seen a pure passer than Johnny Manziel.
No, 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 no. That's Brandon Weeden.
Oh.
You remember Brandon Weeden?
Oh.
Who's he play for now?
He's playing for the Texans.
The Texans?
Yeah. See, when Hoyer threw the four interceptions in the first half, they weren't thinking of putting Brandon Weeden in because they didn't want to.
Well, they should have called Jerry Jones because that guy's the best pure passer.
Who likes Manziel now? Who wants Manziel? I thought you said you knew of a team.
From what I understood, 31 of 32 don't care, don't want him, have no interest. One team has an interest. I don't know what that team is. You could probably roll the dice on a number of you know, terrible teams right now that need a quarterback.
Would the Texans take the shot?
Why not? You're in Texas. You bring him home. Maybe there's some flavor there. I don't know.
Would you take Manziel over RG third string?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would.
I would. A headache or not, there's more talent there. There's something you could work with. I don't think you can't work with what RG3 brings to the table. He's a head case and no talent. Not only that, because he's fragile. You know what I mean? You got all kinds of problems. But Manziel, I don't know what if you can get through to him, but at least you know what you're going to get. With RG3, you get a real different side. You know,
right?
You get the guy who sits in front of the cameras and says, you know, I just got to do my best to earn my spot and work on what I need to. And, you know, he does the great
lines. That's Manziel?
That's RG3.
The philosopher?
The philosopher who turns around and does weird stuff like, you know, and then leaves these little notes and these, you
right.
know, in his locker when
the
he leaves.
The weird t-shirts,
you know, hashtag yeah. comeback, all that stuff, or, you know.
It's a call this premeditated stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of really deep, weird thought going on.
Right,
there.
Right.
Manziel, impulsive.
Right.
Moron.
Right. Just off the top, off his sleeve.
Which you can probably deal with when they're not manipulating
right.
the situation. They're just an idiot.
Right.
I think you can probably work with that better.
Right.
That sounds horrible, but sometimes you're too smart for your own good. And sometimes you're just a moron who just needs to be kept out of bad situations.
Too pensive, right? Or is that the word? When the guy really thinks his thoughts through and acts on them and does this huge letter and
puts it in the locker.
What kind of knucklehead does that,
dude,
man?
Go away. go get a job somewhere as a backup quarterback and hope that you get your shot against
him. Isn't that amazing that he did that to
that
me? I didn't even know what the thing read. I just
well,
I heard
supposed
it was
to like, well, he still finds himself relevant in the conversation.
Right.
The man did not wear shoulder pads. Ads for 90% of the season, and we're supposed
90% of his career.
Well, yeah, pretty
because
much.
He was out after 10 games his first year, and so I don't know.
You look at this guy, and he leaves that kind of thing. Like he still thinks he's somebody that should have a say, or that was wronged in some way. Take a break. We'll come back. We got more sports talk.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KACM. Mike in the Crisis here with you. The Deshaun Watson won the Manning Award. And I didn't even realize there was a Manning Award. Am I the only one that doesn't know that? I guess Cam Newton won it once before. So did Matt Ryan, James
Peyton Manning Award? Or the Archie Manning Award?
I'm guessing it's the Archie Manning. I have no idea, though.
It's got to be Archie.
It just says Manning Award. For all I know, it could be Teddy Manning.
It's got to be Archie.
It's got to be. Anywho, I don't know what that means. It's just the top quarterback in college football.
Has Peyton or Eli won that award?
It's probably named after they made it to the NFL until they said, boy, we need to name a trophy after this family. Might be after the whole family. That's why it's just called the Manning Award.
That's football royalty right there.
That's football royalty right
there. It's funny. Well, the funny thing is, Tom Brady and his sister have more Super Bowl wins than the Mannings.
Ouch.
Oh.
Ouch. And we have no idea who Tom Brady's sister is. Doesn't matter.
He has one.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean anything. We should at least mention this for a second. Lawrence Phillips. Lawrence Phillips, and this is how long ago this was, man. I forget how old this story is and how old this guy was. 1996 first round draft pick by the St. Louis Rams. Remember when it happened? You and I looked at each other. We didn't know each other back then, but I'm saying we would have looked at each other and we would have said the same thing. What the hell is Dick Vermeil doing? You know what I mean? It just wouldn't have made sense then any more than it does now. And the Rams drafted him sixth overall, I think. He's a dirtbag. He was a dirtbag when he was in Nebraska. And, he was kind of a risk coming out of Nebraska because people knew this is a guy who beat up his girlfriend. He's got anger issues. He's kind of a criminal background. They pick him up anyhow. He had problems throughout his entire NFL career, which is very short-lived. Went to prison back in 2008 to serve more than 31 years after he was convicted of choking his girlfriend in 2005 in San Diego and driving his car into three teens after a pickup football game in L.A.
Hmm.
I remember when all that went down, I was like, God, this guy, doesn't matter what he does, he's just a wacko. He's a criminal kind of whack job, you know? So they went and checked on him in his jail cell where he is currently awaiting trial for killing his cellmate. And he has killed himself, apparently. Apparent suicide, 40 years old, no more Lawrence Phillips. I had forgotten all about this guy. He was kind of the predated Maurice Claret, I guess, or even worse than that. I mean, he was the violent criminal of the sort, you know.
I'm thinking this is the... First of all, you see signs on this guy from the beginning.
Right.
And nobody did anything to stop it. Maurice Claret is going through the same. He's in prison now, or is he finally out? I don't even know if he's in. You know, Greg Hardy, who the Cowboys have signed for big bucks. Similar incidents. You know what I mean? Not that he's killed anybody yet, though we know of.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Similar kind of incidents, and it's just steamrolls to this kind of deal. I mean, this guy, when Jimmy Johnson got this guy for the Dolphins, that was when I said this last straw for that team and that organization. And do you remember that when Miami got him?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it just was a disgusting pickup.
Yeah.
And, you know, a guy like this, where else would this guy going to end up but dead? I mean, think about it.
Yeah, I think we all kind of could see the writing on the wall. There's certain guys that may have this physical ability that comes out on the football field. Usually they're weeded out before they get to the pro level, meaning the real bad apples struggle to get the grades needed to go to college, struggle while in college to remain eligible, and they disappear at a JUCO somewhere, you know, even regardless of how talented on a football field they are. This is one of those guys that made it through. Beat up his girlfriend when he was at Nebraska. Tom Osborne gave him like 6 months of anger management.
Mm-hmm.
Suspended him
the
like
great,
six games.
The great Tom Osborne.
Right. And everybody said, boy, that's a little lenient, don't you think? And, oh, no, it's fine. Well, he was back on the football field. And then goes, of course, and does more of the kind once he's in the NFL and moves on from that. Osborne said he was an intelligent person who had some good qualities, very loyal to his friends, yet he had some anger issues and couldn't overcome the demons in his life. That was a quote from Tom Osborne. He was also quoted in the USA Today Sports saying, you know, he made some mistakes and had some negatives, but he also wasn't quite the evil person that people might think he was.
Oh, really?
Multi girlfriend, female beating, abusive person, and killed his cellmate, murderer.
He was choked to death, by the way.
yet.
Choked to death.
Yeah, which is a different kind of murder. I mean,
right.
that takes...
I mean, you can shoot somebody, and you could maybe even stab somebody
and
without
it's a split-second decision.
Amount of...
You go through, yeah,
right.
yeah, you're going through at least 30 to 60 seconds mm-hmm. of physical struggle to end a person's life. It's
watching
not,
the person
right.
plead or say no, stop, or whatever the heck they're trying to do.
Struggle,
you're
whatever.
Trying to think
yeah.
about that.
And you go through with it to yeah. finish the deed. There's a different kind of person. Tom Osborne's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it at that. And I don't really care because he is supposed to be the great Tom Osborne. Everybody loves this guy.
Can't do no wrong.
Nebraska, can't do anything wrong. I'm sorry. He was just like so many others in college football, one of the things that's become a major problem in the NFL today. You know, these kids at college don't learn how to become professional athletes and human beings. You know what I watched the other day, which was just an awesome movie? You ever see When the Game Stands Tall?
No.
The high school football coach had this huge winning streak, and it's a true story. It's all about the De La Salle football team. And his biggest thing was he didn't want to move on to college or do anything like that because he wanted to shape young men, young adults into young men.
Absolutely.
Boys becoming men. He wanted to shape their minds. He used a lot of scripture in his faith in doing that. But his biggest thing that he wanted these kids to learn is it's not the game. It's not the sport. I want you to work for each other as a family, as a unit. I want you to have faith in one another. And it was a really cool story. I encourage anybody to watch it if you enjoy sports movies, feel good kind of stuff. Awesome.
Led
awesome
them to
movie.
Over 200 victories in a row, right? Or something like that.
151 yeah. straight. And then he still won the state championship the next year, so it didn't make much of a difference.
Right.
He lost a couple in a row after they had some health problems and stuff like that. But the unreal story. But I'll tell you what, that's the kind of thing that doesn't exist in the high intensity levels of recruiting in college football.
By the way, Lawrence Phillip, the incident with his ex-girlfriend in college, he had choked her to the point of unconsciousness.
Right.
So it was almost there.
Yeah. After he had a great game at Michigan State, I don't know what he was upset about.
206 yards against Michigan State and goes home and chokes almost the life out of his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ends up killing the guy.
Might have thought he did, but she was
maybe
unconscious.
Yeah.
And then kills another guy the same way. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Sports Talk. Thank you. Sports Talk, ESPN 780 KAZM. Okay, so the coaching carousel continues in the NFL. Still rumors here, rumors there. Who's in lead for this? Who's in lead for that? Apparently Shanahan is still in the mix for the 49ers job. Mike Shanahan.
That would be fitting. That would be perfect, actually.
That would be great. I would think that could work.
Does he get rid of Kaepernick?
I would think. I have no idea. But I think he should. Otherwise, he's stuck with another RG3.
But what do you do with Kaepernick? You owe him so much money. I mean, how does that work? The contracts aren't guaranteed, I guess? Or
no, you can cut him and pay a fine, a cap penalty. But and I don't really know what it is. It might be $6 or $8 million. It's not an easy thing to do, because it counts against your cap that year.
Do you stick with Blaine? Gabbert?
I don't know if you do that, but there's some multiple teams in the NFL this year different than others, where we have in past years we had more parity. Last year, not this season, but the season before. Remember, after 6 weeks, we didn't have an undefeated mm-hmm. NFL team. We had one that went 14-0 this year.
Right.
So if you look at that, and then you look over and you see the two win teams. You look at the Chargers, you look at the Titans and stuff like that. You think, man, there's some teams that are just, they're not going to be successful. You have teams that went playoff ready, great seasons, like the Cowboys just fell off the map. You have so many teams like that. The 49ers are one of those. A couple years ago, they're in the NFC Championship. Now they're shell and form themselves, and they're on to their third coach in 3 years.
Unbelievable.
Unreal.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's some teams that have to blow it up to restructure, I think.
What are the Cowboys going to do?
The Cowboys are screwed because they still have yet to find a way where they can fire their general manager.
I'm telling you, that's their biggest...
That's the biggest problem.
The Raiders went down the toilet.
When Al
the
Davis
last 20 years just, Al Davis was alive, they just were terrible.
Some people should not have that kind of control at certain times in their lives.
Yeah.
Earlier on, things worked. As times change, they don't. Old dog, new tricks kind of thing. And they just don't want to change. And they end up getting what they always get. Isn't that what you always say?
Oh, yeah.
Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah, make it happen.
All right, folks, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We're going to talk Friday all about the NFL playoff matchups.
For 2 hours, baby.
We just go Cardinals-Packers the whole time.
Yes.
2 hours. We'll see you tomorrow morning, folks. Thanks.